to AWARE. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware.
Seminar series. This is Lisa Garr. I'm rocking over here. I'm just excited about today's interview because today's interview has everything to do with being alive, which is what we all are if we're listening to this call. But it's really about being more than alive. It's about thriving in your existence of being alive. And how do you do this? Well, got a lot of great mental support on the series, a lot of great concepts, how-tos, philosophies. Today we're talking about your body. And if you have one, which you most likely do, this conversation is about your body and how to make it really, really the most incredible body with tons and tons of natural energy, which so many people want. So I'm going to start you off by going to that great website, which is your dashboard. It's where you control everything. Go to theawareshow.com/Rinaldi, R-I-N-A-L-D-I. Can't really mess that one up. That's a good one. So it's theawareshow.com/Rinaldi. And we have Bo Rinaldi on the show today. Now, he is not only an incredible visionary in the vegan movement, but he's the owner of award-winning restaurants, the Blossoming Lotus restaurant, and books, the Vegan Fusion, and the Complete Idiot's Guide to Eating Raw. Really, this is more of a movement for Bo. It's a way of life. And you know how popular these cooking shows are on television, and there's all these Hell's Kitchen and this, that, and the other thing, and I hear cooking shows on the radio a lot. Well, the reason they're so popular is because, like me, I get into the kitchen after crazy busy day, and I go, oh, God, I'm starving. What do I do? That has happened so often to me. So the bottom line is today we're going to be talking about how to, because I always love people to take away as much information as possible from these calls, how to eat that is not only healthy, life-giving, but it's got to be simple. Welcome to the show, Bo.
Lisa, I love that intro. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all the listeners. I'm so happy to be here with you, Lisa. Thank you.
I am happy you're here because this is going to, really, I want you guys to get out your pencils, papers, go to that website, which is theawareshow.com/Rinaldi, and you can type in questions for us during the call as well, because we want to be able to make this really interactive, and we'll do live calls a little bit later. So let's talk, first of all, about your story. I mean, as I said, this is a way of life for you. So how did you get involved in the raw food movement?
So I became a vegan. I'm kind of in the vegan movement, or what we like to call the plant-based lifestyle.
Okay, plant-based.
So basically, maybe I'm in the raw movement. I've been certainly a raw foodist many times in my life. I'm not 100% raw right now. I'm not really anything right now. I've been a vegan for 51 years. I got involved with it, or became a vegan, right, when I was 12 years old. So I had severe asthma and allergies when I was 12 years old, and my parents were beside themselves to where to take me, to help me feel better. I had watermelon head. I couldn't breathe. I was living in Southern California. They took me to a Seventh-day Adventist doctor, and he gave my mother the book Back to Eden. I read the book Back to Eden cover to cover as a 12-year-old young man in Southern California.
Wow.
I became a vegan cook. I became an herbalist, not knowing what any of those things were, and I cured myself of asthma and allergies and everything pretty much that ails me. So, to this day, I've never been sick, actually, pretty much. I mean, maybe if I go to Las Vegas or something.
Yeah, I'll get anywhere sick. But if you, what did you teach your mom then, how to cook for you? Because obviously was cooking in a certain way. She's taking advice from a 12-year-old on how she should eat, right?
It was unique, exactly. She was more supportive than any mother could possibly be. And I want to tell the story about my mother before the show is over and how she just cured herself of a life-threatening disease by following the concepts that I gave her, which is what I learned when I was 12 years old. Basically, what happens in the half of the book, right, half of the book is about scratch cooking. He tells you to eliminate wheat, in this order, wheat, dairy, eggs, and meat. He kind of titrates you off of those items, right, through his recipes. Jeff threw a class, 1939. And so we're just doing this. There is no health food movement in Southern California in the early 60s. We are the movement, right? And the second half of the book is all about herbs. And I would make these herbal concoctions, pretty skanky, heavy herbal concoctions. And in the back of the book, there's all these, you know, herbal companies that were either formulas or herb gardens, many of which still exist. The Indiana Botanical Gardens was there. She literally took me to these places. I met these herbalists as soon as I started to turn it around. So she let me order the products, make these things, and I, as a 12-year-old kid, became kind of an alchemist in the kitchen, making my own soy milk, making my own tofu, learning how to do mayonnaise, learning how to do casseroles, all about greens, grains, and proteins. Yeah.
Interesting. And so why do you think, by the way, he said to eliminate those things back in the 60s, which, you know, you would think now with the whole juicing craze and everything that's become popularized here in, well, I'm speaking from the Los Angeles community, but why do you think 50s, 60s, wheat, dairy, eggs, and meat were the things to eliminate in the face of disease?
Well, I think it's just the way that it was ever since the dawn of humankind. It is my belief that ever since the Rishis, these light beings in India, basically spoke to Pythagoras when he goes to India to study with them in approximately 580 BC, plant-based lifestyle is clearly the fastest way to personal, social, and possibly global liberation. So these are immutable truths.
In what way? Now, explain. Keep going on that one.
The man-to-plant connection is the concept that Pythagoras really brought to bear. Okay, he learns from the Rishis, who are these light beings in India. Pythagoras, right? Alan of Samos, 562 BC, mountain of a man, 6 foot tall, said that everything is numbers, everything is vibration, that you could take sound and color, food, the healing properties of food, the planets, the way the whole world is formed, and reduce it into numbers, mathematics. So he brings you, yes, the Pythagorean theorem, the concept of pi, the golden mean, thanks to also help with his wife, Tianu, and he also, things like the Da Vinci Code come from Pythagoras, things like the secret come from Pythagoras. And he teaches these immutable laws that he basically learns probably from the Rishis and the ancient Egyptians, as the story goes. And these laws say that it's all vibration. He comes up with the theory of seven for color, the rainbow, and that the colors of the sky, the colors of the plants, the colors in life produce these healing effects in our body. Now, today we call them phenols, right? And we'll talk about that today.
About eating from the rainbow, right? Okay.
Eating from the rainbow and that, you know, maybe green is, you know, whatever, lutein, you know, and that does something special in your body, or red might be lycopene or orange, you know, carotene. There's 4,000 phenols. He broke it down, and maybe we know about 300 or 400 of these, okay, which are basically these phyto, you know, plant active ingredients. These, we call them plant phenols. And so he taught that sound, which is the law of octave, also the law of seven, was also healing, and that this connection that we have with our physical universe could turn us into these compassionate, loving, self-actuated people, that whatever we put our energy into comes to life, and that we really are here coexisting with these plants, which are really here to serve us, that they are regenerative, that they grow like weeds, and that they're here to heal us.
Well, I mean, and since then, the other foods like the wheat, the dairy, the eggs, the meat have gotten so grossly genetically modified that they're barely recognizable by the body any longer. I just spoke to a farmer on my radio show here in LA, and he, you know, a sixth-generation farmer, maintains about a 6,000-acre farm, and he said when he was a boy, he used to play in the crops, and there used to be, you know, weeds that would grow up over the fences and so forth, and now because of the carrying of his GMO seeds by the bees and the birds, which, of course, are also dying off, there's no longer any natural foliage. There's just monocrops now, where there's rows and rows and rows of the same thing, which was never that way in nature. It's now so scientifically modulated that, you know the aspect, that's from a farmer's perspective, but you know the aspect of what happens to the body when it eats something that is so modified.
Well, I know that. I also know that I talk to many farmers, and we have thousands of acres of organic farmland that we work with, and we support literally hundreds of farmers, and basically food comes out of the ground. It does not come out of a store. It doesn't, in my view, come out of killing animals. And in my view, personally, you have to have organic farms everywhere to have a local sustainable economy. Every restaurant can support about, these kinds of restaurants like the Blossoming Lotus, can support about 250,000 people in a neighborhood over a course of a year, which might account for 3,000 or 4,000 jobs. So in a town like Portland where I live, if you had 10 Blossoming Lotus restaurants, you'd have a completely sustainable model. So in our world, it's a connected thing. There's nothing disconnected completely. We're all interconnected, and we can grow our way out of these current predicaments we find ourselves in as a humanity.
No, and I appreciate that, because we that live in big cities don't live on farms, and it's hard to bring the farm to us. Well, it's not hard. It's easy to bring the farm to us through things like your restaurants, through farmers markets and so forth. So what we're doing today on this show is teaching people what to do when you get up against those, you know, even the farmers market, or if you go to the green food section of your market, and hopefully it's got, most supermarkets have a teeny weeny little organic section, and then it's all labeled, and then there's the rest of the food. But if you get to the, what do you do with bok choy? What do you do with these other great things? And Bo and I talked, you know, a lot before, and I said I needed something that was simple. I needed 4 or 5 ingredients. Here's my food allergies. What, you know, that would be so great to impart to my listeners. And what he did, oh my God, I can't believe you put like a 200-page book together for the listeners, and it's exclusive. This is just for Aware Show listeners. This is such a huge thing, and this must have taken you forever. And I'm so, you know what? Thank you so much. I was so excited when this came in. I'm like, it was like a present. It was.
Hey,
printed
you
it out.
Deserve it.
Polenta pancakes with maple syrup. Polenta's got that one going. There's so many things we're going to talk about today. I'm going to give you guys recipes. Well, Bo is. But, so I'm learning along with you all. What did you, and tell me about the book, by the way, that you put together. It's called Health Realized. If you look at it on your website, theawareshow.com/Rinaldi, it says, item number 2, exclusively for the Aware Show audience. So cool.
Right. I'll tell you this from the way that I look at things. First of all, my life, I don't really own the Blossoming Lotus restaurant. I'm one of the co-owners now. It's partially employee-owned. I have a few owners. And in Vegan Fusion, and a big shout-out to all Blossoming Lotus people, obviously. And in Vegan Fusion, we have an executive chef, Mark Reinfeld, and he travels the world teaching people, and he enrolls thousands of people in the global outreach that we have with our global cooking school. And because of the fact that we're best-selling authors, and I love to talk and share my story with people, it's pretty much, I look at this as a giant collective. So people, I don't know, we probably have close to 100 people that are helping in all of this variety of outreach, from webmasters to copywriters to authors to agents to all the people on the ground really working. So basically what we wanted to do was tell our story. And in this book, I, for the first time, come out and give people a little bit of my story even deeper. I talk about my wife's story and how over about 15 years it took to get her to total health from where she started in her life to where she is now. We use the same concepts. I'm opening up a vegan restaurant in a hospital for the first time ever.
Wow.
A vegan restaurant's opening up in a hospital, another scratch-based, plant-based, you know, restaurant in a Seventh-day Adventist hospital. In this case, might give back to them, right?
Wow.
And the head chef, one of the chefs there, used the same exact concepts to reverse her diseases, serious life-threatening diseases, and one of the leading raw foodists currently in the movement today has also allowed us to publish her story for the first time as to how she was left for dead at 94 pounds. And by using the same concepts that I used when I was 12 that we can use today, we can reverse what ails us as a humanity. And I wanted to give something special to all of your listeners, Lisa, because of how special you are, in a way that from my heart can say, the best healing is self-healing. And of course, don't take my word for it. I'm not a doctor. My disclaimer is, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I just know exactly what happened to me and what I witnessed.
Well, and how food is responsible for healing ailments in the body, because of, now the basic premise here is that the green foods and the plant-based foods are loaded with live enzymes. Those live enzymes match up with the live cells in your body and duplicate them in the correct way, rather than having the rapid die-off that happens when food that is not alive goes into your body, and then the body has to create an immune system reaction to it, a fight or flight reaction to it, and start to go towards degeneration. You want food that moves your body towards regeneration of the correct cells. So can you talk a little bit about that? Why the plant-based diet? Why is that? Why does that work?
I'm going to start interviewing you, Lisa. You're so smart. It's just amazing. I'll tell you, there's a lot of reasons. Just kind of going back to it. So as a kid, I was 13 years old. I'm in geometry class. There's Pythagoras. You look up in the encyclopedia for who are vegetarians. I'm all alone, right? I'm in Southern California as a vegetarian in 1931 now, 13 years old, 1961, 13 years old, right? And there's Pythagoras, and Pythagoras really triggered me, and I found out that we were not called vegetarians until about 1860. The term did not exist. Before that, people that exist on a plant-based diet were called Pythagoreans.
Oh, really?
So the why still goes all the way back to the rishis, who are these light beings who said the quickest way to Godhead, essentially, was a plant-based lifestyle. The blood of the plant is equal to the blood of the body. Most of your listeners know that chlorophyll has 95 to 99% similar chemical makeup as blood. You know the blood of the plant is equal to the blood of the body, right? There's the iron or manganese in the plant, and you have the available iron, and of course, or I'm sorry, the copper and the manganese in the chlorophyll, the plant blood, right, the chlorophyll, and there's the iron in your body, and these two match up perfectly. Sometimes, even if the food is cooked, live food, raw food, living foods, even though we've written the books on these things and whatever, my deal is that I want people to get out there and understand food comes from the ground. Buy a plot of land or support somebody that has a plot of land near you. Help us grow our way out of this by securing people's jobs, by buying their food, and learning how to make the recipes that we show them in the offer that we have today and what they know is right. And, yes, they can do live pasta or they can do buckwheat pasta. Just go on a plant-based lifestyle, even for 3 days, and you'll notice the difference.
And I'm glad you said this is not we're not here preaching about anything. I mean, this is not about preaching. This is just simply to inform people to what the plants have in it for us. I mean, it is simple. If you think about what the sun does and how the sun converts energy into a plant, and that energy then when you eat it turns into energy in your body. I mean, you could teach an 8-year-old that. So if you just think about that basic concept, we're talking about health here, and this is why I wanted Bo to be on the show, because we haven't talked about the body yet in this series. We've done a lot of mind and so forth, but I want to talk about our bodies. I mean, there's only so much head-up conversation that you can have here, the neck-up conversation I want to talk about. So let's talk about some of the specific foods that you find that are plant-based that have things like protein. Where can you get protein from plants?
Well, all living cells have protein by definition, and there is an infinity of proteins, okay? So the reason that you see diets that say you need 30% protein is that the only place you have 30% protein is basically in beef. So that's a foray into the beef industry's mind, okay?
Okay.
We believe you need about 10% protein, but if you want more protein, if you're a vegan bodybuilder like our buddy Robert Cheek, or if you're an Olympic athlete like our buddy Carl Lewis, and you're vegans, right?
Right.
You can get your protein for quinoa, obviously, has about 22% protein, the ancient grain of the Incans that you love so much, Lisa.
22%.
Yes, awesome. You can get 18% generally from a lot of your seeds. We don't really endorse a heavy fat diet or a heavy protein diet. We believe, as does Colin Campbell, Caldwell Esselstyn, the people featured on the Sanjay Gupta special, The Last Heart Attack. We work with all of these people now in modern medicine, and the evidence is in that not only is protein kind of overrated, it's a building block of your body. The only reason you need it if you're going to be building a lot of muscles, if you keep your protein to about 10% of the total calorie intake of your body, which we can explain more, your fat at about 10% and your complex carbohydrates at about 80%, you will have a lean body. GEICO, a lean, healthy, pretty much disease-free body. GEICO just did a study for their employees, basically ushered in by Dr. Neil Barnard of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine.
Yeah.
They put their people on this. They eradicated diabetes, obesity, coronary. That's what you eradicate. These
really?
So-called modern modern-day diseases. Yes. Under his guidance, they have, of course, started with like a vegan burger, you know, and the optional bacon or cheese. But they got to it after a while.
Oh, my gosh. No,
I know.
That's amazing.
So protein is everywhere. It's abundant. We think if you do a little bit of soy, we like to treat soy as a condiment. We should maybe talk about the soy myth and the soy truths and this type of thing. Use the ancient forms of soy, the tofu, the tempeh, maybe a little miso or tamari. Just treat it as a condiment for, I don't know, 4 ounces occasionally, prepared properly as we show them in our offer.
Uh-huh.
What happens is the body, like you're saying, goes into lockstep with the food that it's taking in. If you don't have any neurodisruptors, if you don't have any, like, digestive issues, which people do have neurodisruptors in their body based on being alive in modern-day America, challenged modern-day society.
Toxins.
You don't have digestive problems, which you will have, generally speaking, in this world. If you can get your body to the place where you can start to assimilate, the body just kind of goes like, hallelujah. I mean, literally, it's the Edenic diet. It's the perfect diet. That's because we can use these words like enzymes and vitamins and proteins. The fact is they're diminutive. The plant is a spiritual entity that is here to serve us, and by exalting these plants and growing these plants and having, we think, millions more acres of organic farms everywhere, you'll basically see more birds, more bees, more life, and that's what we do what we do. That's really why we do it. We think we can grow our way out of this. I'll just say it again, and I can go as deep as you like nutritionally, but be that as it may, it's more about the mindset. What will happen is your immune system will start to fire up, right? So you build this, what's the macrophage, just like you're saying. You have this protective thing. Your heart will open up because you're living harmlessly now. You're not killing animals for your food. Your mind will open up, your intuition, Pythagoras, and then, of course, one of the leading alchemists of the, 16th century, Paracelsus, Bombastus Paracelsus himself, said you learn through intuition as well as experience. Your intuition starts to open up. So this, sometimes we call this the intuitive diet, because people's minds start to open just by doing this, and it's also intuitive for them. So we're here just to tell people it's not weird, Lisa. It's actually something to consider.
And there's also a lot of science behind this conversation, too, because the body has its innate intelligence to constantly heal, to repair, restore, create homeostasis. That is the body's optimal state, homeostasis. So when you send foods into the body that have been processed and cooked and bludgeoned, you get to that point where the body has to use its free energy to combat those foods, to store them in certain areas, to say, okay, does not compute, store as fat, does not compute, store as fat, does not compute, store as fat. And that's with some of the processed foods. And then you get, you know, when you see a loaf of bread with 37 different ingredients, that's not a loaf of bread anymore. So the body doesn't understand what it is, so it just kind of stores it. And then all of that free energy that you're wanting so much to think, to love, to go about your daily life, to regenerate, to get up in the morning, all of that free energy then starts to go to work to process that food, and it starts to get siphoned off. Okay, got to deal with this stored thing and got to process that fat and got to do this chemical thing and create some system response to that. And, you know, you think about this. I love those old Woody Allen movies with the animated things that shows the body. I learned more from those. The images are so great. So then you have all this energy where people, you know, when I ask what's your greatest desire on this teleseminar series, like, want more energy, want more focus, want to heal this disease, want to get out of pain. I mean, I have hundreds and hundreds of emails about that, those topics specifically. And so you wonder why these diseases and pains are being created, because your body's energy is going so much towards processing the toxic chemicals that are in our foods and in our environments, that we wonder why we don't have enough free energy to create the life we want, the dream we want, and so forth. And I do not want this to sound preachy. For some reason, I am getting on a soapbox here, but I am like you, Bo. I want people to understand that our bodies are amazing temples. All they want to do is heal and repair. And all we can do is take simple little recipes. Maybe it's one meal a day. Maybe it's a green smoothie to start off with. Maybe you throw in a cucumber in your child's lunchbox. I'm all about starting simple. And that's what I ask Bo to do here, is to make it super simple for us. Now, some of these recipes are off the charts. I mean, broccoli stuffed butternut squash with mushroom cashew gravy. There's more things in that sentence, which is awesome. But then there's the polenta pancakes with pecans and maple syrup. Those are beautiful. So there's different ways to do it, and that's what I love. You know, one of the other things that Bo has that I was really attracted to was with the tutorials on his website. He does the live, well, the cooking demos on the website, so you can go and you can just click on something and it'll show you exactly how to make it, like a how-to. Throw your computer in your kitchen, press one of these things, and just follow the video. I mean, it's super easy, right?
Well, it is, and let me just clarify a couple of things. So first of all, three things. You'd be a great animal rights activist. Number two, you're awesome. I think food is the missing link, okay? We got this from Mark Reinfeld, our executive chef today, because this is written in the ancient scriptures. Pythagoras said, the swing to the left is equal to the swing to the right. We believe that food, as we know it, and just how weird food is, okay, these things that are assimilating and eliminating as we go, right? And if we put this high pranic, high value, high nutrition plant-based diet into our systems, basically you're right, you have more. We don't sleep a lot, Lisa, as you know.
I'm sure you don't, yeah.
We're activated. And so put it in the right hands. Food is the creation of our life. In the wrong hands, and it's the sustainer of our lives. In the wrong hands, it's the destroyer. And so basically what we've done as Americans, unfortunately, this is the truth, is we export three things: arms, drugs, and processed foods. Those are our biggest exports. Our processed foods, because of how aggressively China and India are adopting Western standards, so to speak, highest rates of childhood obesity, diabetes, obviously coronary disease, things they've never seen in China and India because there are these emerging middle classes. That's what they have. So we have to reverse this if our humanity is really going to sustain itself. No matter how much we talk, we seriously are like in the 1%, Lisa, for real. We have a wannabe wish list of maybe people that want to do this and about the 10%. And if they want to do it, Mark Reinfeld, our executive chef, travels around the world teaching cooking lessons to people, immersion classes, a week to 2 weeks. He's a wonderful, not just executive chef and personal chef, but teacher. So what we did is we took this class that we charged $1,500 for. Mm-hmm. We filmed Mark in my professional kitchens here in Lake Oswego, Oregon. We have our top videos. There's about 25 videos there, the same manual that we use to teach people how to do everything from the very basics to the simple bowls, to the rainbow salads, all the way up to the, like, these complex dishes or these award-winning recipes, because we've won many awards for our recipes, mm-hmm. with all kinds of freebies and goodies. It's a self-paced thing that literally can teach you at any level what you need to know to basically be a master in this laboratory we call our kitchen.
Right, and Bo mentioned a good point. 1% of the population is vegan. So I'm not talking to 1% of the people here. I'm talking to 100% of the people here that want to learn how to insert a plant-based lifestyle into their life, just to start super simple and super easy. So so first of all, what would be the first step for somebody? What would they go and change their kitchen, which is like kind of huge?
I'd start just by being curious. There's so much information here. They can go to our website, you know, that you're promoting for us, and there's a lot of information there. There's huge outreach in this area, and I think the main thing is not to be confused. First of all, terms like superfoods and live foods and raw foods, I would just say, typically speaking, ignore that and just stay with plant-based foods, vegan foods, and try not to deal with anything processed or out of a package.
Okay.
So we like people to start with greens and simple grains and simple proteins, and that'll be fulfilling, very transitional.
Good breakfast, like a transition, like starting with basics.
I like a green smoothie for breakfast. If a person can start a day with a whole food kind of green smoothie, you're kind of, you know, you're the kitchen sink kind of gal, Lisa, you know. You make smoothies with your kids, right?
Uh-huh.
And you're putting in maybe a little bit of orange juice and some kale, maybe a little cucumber, avocados, some hemp seeds, you know what I mean? You're just putting together a green smoothie. Our next book, by the way, is going to be The Complete Idiot's Guide to Green Smoothies. Because how popular they are now.
Awesome.
We think one of the ways into people's heads and minds are these whole food-based green smoothies. And the reason is they're not juices. They contain all of the nutrients of the plant, and they contain all of the fiber. And so when the fiber is in your body, your brain is tricked that you're full and there's no calories in fiber.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to ask you the difference between juicing them and blending them. So,
right,
like in a Vitamix versus a juicer, what do you think
if
is
you
the
get
best?
A high-powered, yeah. If you get a high-powered blender, there's K-Tex, there's Osterizers, there's Blendexes, there's many, of course, the Vitamix, the mighty blender world. It all started kind of in the Southern California 50s and 60s. We had our Waring blenders, and we're all making smoothies, right?
I had a Waring. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Right.
Remember that?
Uh-huh.
And that was kind of the beginning of the movement. Now we have juice stands and all this. They are filled with sugar. Most stands are filled with this. So you have a place that can make you juice, great. Best juice to drink, really, is wheatgrass juice. We think, which is a wonder food and incredible food, but we think that it's best to use whole food-based items. So we literally like to start with a simple base of some kind of easy fruit, non-acidic fruit, like apples are very popular. You can put in a little bit of avocado, believe it or not, to make it creamy.
Really?
If you like, yes, fresh avocado. You put in some cucumber and some celery, just whole. Just clean them.
Okay.
Chop them up a little bit. Put them in. You'll learn how to do it where the lighter things go in first, the heavier things go in last. You blend this out for about 2 minutes. You're breaking down those cell walls. Those nutrients are becoming, they're assimilable at this point, okay? And it will rejuvenate your body immediately. The fiber will fill your body. Your taste buds will go crazy. And pretty soon you'll start learning your favorite green smoothie. And a matter of fact, I might even, what I'll do is I'll give you some green smoothie recipes to send out to your listeners if you like.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, because that's what, and we can even talk about a few. So, I mean, talking even about weight loss, this is a great way for you to lose that 5 pounds that you can't seem to get off of, the 5 to 10, or even all the way up to 50. I mean, you can.
I saw a guy the other day that lost 180 pounds. He started the day with green. We were at our local vegetarian kind of thing called Veg Fest. I said, no way. The guy said he was 410 pounds. It was like, whatever, 185 pounds or something now. He lost like the size of one person, essentially.
Wow.
He did it by starting the day with a green smoothie, going then with just kind of simple fruits and greens, you know, during the day, these kitchen sink salads, we like to call them rainbow salads.
Right.
And then occasionally, it was a whole food, he was on a whole food plant-based diet, and then sometimes at night he didn't even want to eat, so he'd just kind of force himself to keep the blood sugar up, maybe some almonds and an apple or something, because he was so satisfied.
It does sound
like it. Yeah, so it's, you can attain your perfect weight easily, actually.
And also, in the some of the side effects are things like clearer skin, more energy, you actually get, you know, fuller hair, all that stuff that you try to do from the outside in with the cosmetics and the lotions and potions. And
you can go drug-free. You will not need Viagra if you're a man. Yeah. You will not need anything, especially there's certain foods. To vegans, people on plant-based lifestyle, to me anyway, and I'd say I'm speaking for maybe a few million people, all foods can become superfoods. So you heard about the study on watermelon that had natural Viagra-like qualities because it's a vasodilator and dilates your blood cells. And we love watermelon for people. Makes a you can do a great smoothie of watermelon, cinnamon, lime, and top it with like a little dash of turmeric. It's just, it makes a beautiful color.
Oh, I have all that stuff.
It's superb for your body, and your body will just start like responding, like you said, in these kind of hidden side effects where you go like, wow, why didn't I do this sooner?
So that's a good one. Watermelon. Now, do you put it in a blender? That one,
mm-hmm.
watermelon,
yes.
cinnamon?
Yeah, whole watermelon. Maybe get a seedless variety because the seeds are fine for you, but they don't grind up that easily, and the watermelon grinds up really easily. Yeah, we make a watermelon. I think I give people in one of our recipe books a watermelon gazpacho that we like to do. Yeah, we do
right.
a watermelon smoothie, a good one's watermelon and lime, you know, just juice of lime, actually. So, you know, maybe a quarter of a watermelon and a juice of a lime and a little bit of cinnamon. That's a kind of a famous combination. You blend that up for about a minute. It's rich and creamy and just satisfies everything, the sweet with the extra spice and the tartness. And if you top it with a little bit of turmeric that has its curcumin, right, that actually dissolves dissolves unwanted toxins, waste, even possibly things like tumors and cysts in one's body.
Did you say turmeric?
Turmeric, T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C, the one that makes curry powder yellow.
That I heard that turmeric is wonderful. If you ever have an open wound, it'll stop bleeding right away.
They use it. If you travel to India or even like Thailand or whatever, there's these little septic sticks that they use, and they all have turmeric in them.
Yeah, it's a really great aid. Kids, what type of things can you make for kids? I mean, that one sounds great, the watermelon, cinnamon.
First thing I like to say is kids belong in the kitchen, and communities belong in the kitchen. We as a humanity belong either in the garden or the kitchen, or at least together eating, and kids love to cook. So starting my kind of cooking career at 12 years old and still consulting for the restaurant business, you know, bringing these plant-based dishes, restaurants, products into any kind of venue that would want them. We literally consult for fast food groups that are looking to attract more kids and talk about restaurants with you. Kids basically are the easiest. They just love this kind of food. Kids love, I'd say help kids learn how to make these things. So maybe just a stuffed celery stick, lose the peanut butter. Peanut butter's not really necessary in one's life, and peanuts are a highly co-opted crop, right? So cashew butter, almond butter. Hemp
is that
butter.
Why so many people are more allergic to them now? Because
yes, there's a lot of reasons. There are certain toxins in peanuts actually to some people, so you will have like an aphylactic shock. But peanuts are allergens anyway. They're goobers, man. They're actually legumes. They're not really a nut. I like to stay with certain tree nuts or hemp. One way, if we were to grow our way out of this, is if we legalized food grade hemp. Nothing recreational, food grade hemp, right? 30,000 products. We all know the wonders it has. We're still living by these medieval laws where food grade hemp is illegal. If somebody from Cargill or, well, I don't know, Monsanto, you kind of know who you are. I would say if your husband works for one of these companies, start growing millions of acres of hemp. You'll have millions of jobs in America, unbelievable milks, unbelievable ice creams, novelties, and nut butters you can fill a celery stick with, going back to your kids.
Well, back to the amino acid conversation about being the building block for proteins and also repair, muscle repair and so forth, and growth and regeneration. The amino acids are necessary for that, but you can get that through the hemp seed protein powder. There's a hemp seed protein powder that's wonderful. You could get any brand. And
well, we do it. We're a part of a family that's Living Harvest, okay? So Living Harvest, we're one of the largest providers of hemp products, which would be protein, cracked seeds, novelties, bars, this type of thing. The hemp, the dirty, silly, stupid little secret, the hemp is grown not in America, right? It's grown in China or Russia or Romania or Canada. We're the only real modern-day society that demonizes it because it competed with paper back in the Rockefeller days. And so Thomas Jefferson famously said that every society to thrive needs to grow its food, fuel, and fiber from hemp. And you can kind of put the rest together. But, yes, highest omega-3s and 6s and 9s of any plant whatsoever. Protein's totally bioassimilable. Absolutely
so
delicious.
One of the things, I saw this DVD recently made by teenagers, and it was called All Jacked Up, and it was it was about the school's food program and what the national standards are for school food programs. And these teenagers were so completely disgusted with the food program that the FDA hands down that they did all these, you know, studies on the obesity and the anorexia and the bulimia and all that stuff that's rampant with the adolescents these days, and then started to build programs that you could put into your, you know, kids' lunchboxes, or you could make yourself, by the way, a great snack is to make a smoothie and just put it in your little canister. And you can put in, you know, for a protein, coconut milk. You can do the hemp seed. What's good in that one? Because that kind of makes a vanilla, a coconut smoothie.
Well, my goodness. I mean, just if you just made a hemp-based smoothie, sometimes like chai spices, like we're talking about, kids happen to love those chai spices. Hemp sometimes is a little bit strong. So we make a chai hemp smoothie, and you actually could just put in, it'd be easier rather than the coconut milk, is you could cream it out with some raw cashews. So if you started with cashews and made a cashew milk, we like cashews for milk or pine nuts for milk, and the simple way to make a milk is 1 cup of nuts to 1 quart of water will make a nice milk. You can sweeten it with a little bit of agave or maple syrup or even a date or two, a module date, take the pit out, right? Maybe just a dash of salt. If you blend that down for about 2 minutes, 1 cup to 1 quart will make water. 1 cup to 2 cups will make a cheese, which then, you know, of course you have to work with it and spice it. And 1 cup to 1 cup you can make like rondelles, right? So kids love cashew or pine nut milk. We don't have any allergens going on there. You make the milk. Yeah, and you put in, yeah, pine nut milk's delicious. So you want to blend a pine nut macadamia cashew. It's just, you feel like, they will feel like they're on cloud nine, literally, and you can put in your raw cacao, which would be nice for them.
Now,
you can put in maybe even some berries, some blueberries or raspberries, blackberries, that type of thing, if they like that kind of flavor. And you can top it with hemp seeds, which is just incredibly delicious.
Oh, the actual hemp seeds. Now, what about buying these types of things at the stores, like the almond milks and those types of things? Are those processed? Do you want to make your
own? I think you kind of know the answer. And it's like, I think it's good to go to the store and buy these things, especially better than, we want people to kind of get off of dairy as fast as possible. We think dairy is the number one culprit. Neil Barnard, certainly Michael Greger, everyone knows about John McDougall. Now we have Esselstyn and Dr. Colin Campbell. Evidence-based medicine is basically saying that if you want to rid yourself of coronary disease, get off of the casein and the milk. So if you're the difference between buying regular milk or skim milk or whatever versus rice milk or almond milk, obviously you're going to go for the rice milk. They're not as processed as they used to be. The customer is more aware. But since I grew up as a scratch cook, right, and there were no health food stores to speak of,
right,
I learned how to make my products. I learned how to do it. And basically, the way I eat, it's a dollar a meal, essentially. I could live on food stamps if I had to.
Wow.
And who knows, you know, and I would say anybody could. And so just doing scratch-based cooking with these kinds of ingredients, not only is it less expensive and pure, it's a lot more
economic,
available to your
body.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. So you eat less because the food is more filling because it is whole foods. And so this is a great solution for economic eating as well. I mean, and that's why you're here, is to impart your knowledge of how to bring these things into the kitchen. I mean, how to make this a reality. And that's why, you know, that, I mean, we're going to go through, and Bo is continuing to go through recipes and ideas here. If you want this, I mean, it's a 200-page book of all of these incredible, easy-to-follow recipes, and he made them very simple because I asked him to, because each one of these things are 4 or 5 ingredients, 15, 20 minutes max to make. And they're beautiful foods, by the way. So if you go to that website, which is theawareshow.com/... Rinaldi, R-I-N-A-L-D-I, and you also, you can click on the special offer button there. You get the book and also the videos on his website, access to all of that too, which is also super, super incredible. All right, so now, gosh, what was I going to ask you? Oh, a listener was asking about the wheat in oatmeal or in oats.
Interesting, the gluten in oats?
Yeah, the gluten in oats.
The gluten in oats, that's an interesting topic. So some oats have gluten and some oats don't. Okay, so gluten, which is the mysterious killer, we believe, okay, and we'll talk more about that.
Yeah,
most
why?
Undiagnosed disease is gluten intolerance. The items that have gluten in that kind of order would be wheat, oats, rye, and barley, and not all oats have gluten. And we can get into the different kinds of oats that do or don't. We think oatmeal can be good if it's the right kind of oats because it's high fiber, very satisfying to the body. But if you're gluten intolerant, you do the wrong kind of oats, it's not good. So sometimes you just have to not do oats. It's kind of right in between there. Rice does not have gluten, so you can do a rice meal. Like rice cereals are delicious, actually. And certainly quinoa does not have gluten, although these are both very gelatinous, and they taste really chewy, you know, to you. But they're not. They don't have gluten. So wheat is the culprit. Wheat's been hybridized approximately 18 times, depends on who you talk to, for its gluten content and to resist pesticides so they can spray the heck out of everything around it, to resist drought so they can grow it anywhere, you know, cracked earth.
Wow.
And to come out as fast and potent as possible so the baker has that 18% of gluten. And that gliadin protein is the longest chain protein in the plant kingdom. And if you've ever made, like, seitan or anything with gluten in it, it's basically tantamount to a baseball bat, okay? This protein is so strong. So it is our belief, my belief, and it's just a belief because there's not a lot of science on this, ironically, okay? I want to talk a lot of science with you in a little while. Not a lot of science on this. However, there is this. Undetected within 12 years, it can actually morph into cancers in your body, lymphoma. Undetected in your body, it can morph into things I believe it could even be autism, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, new names for diseases since I've been around, like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, Crohn's disease. The celiac intolerance is such that I would not tamper with oats, typically, unless you knew you were totally, you know, gluten tolerant. And it's my belief we've gone from 1% since I've been studying this of people that are supposedly gluten intolerant to maybe 5%. It's my belief all humanity, one or another, we're different levels of intolerance to this because of what a strong neurodisruptor it is in our body.
Wow, and that is a great point. Yes, it is. It disrupts neurotransmitters as well. That's why you get the, quote, foggy thinking and why I keep taking this back to the kids thing. But that's, this is the best thing you can do is just try it for 3 days and just give your body, make your body your own experiment and take wheat, oats, rye, and barley out of your diet for 3 days and see if your digestion changes, if you have less bloated, gassy feeling, less constipation, if your thinking changes, if you have more focus, if you have better memory recall, if you have less staring and gazing going on. Think, just take a look at your energy levels. Maybe, you know, you will feel a little bit more energy. Just use your body as your own experiment because every single body is different and you just need to try this stuff out yourself, which is what I did. And then I went ahead and I got the blood test and then it showed the wheat intolerance and same with my daughter, a little finger prick test. They're super easy to get, by the way. It's a finger prick test. You send it in to the doctor. It shows up your food intolerances on a scale from mild, moderate, and high. I can't remember the lab that does that. Do you know of one?
Well, there are some, but I'll tell you this. Gluten intolerance, to really understand it, you need a genetic test or a biopsy.
Oh, you
do. A blood test will not, yes. Doctors are not trained for it in testing. A blood test is good, and you can go to Great Smoky or Labricks or any of the great labs, you know, that can give you this. There's a lot of online testing that, you know, the health community is into.
But digestion is your issue, and you're looking at something that can help. And if weight, you know, if middle weight gain, back fat and belly fat is your issue as well, that's also another great area for wheat to be stored. And if it is not processing correctly through the body, so it could really put pounds in that area of your body because the body, again, doesn't recognize it, store it in case I need it, in case there's a nuclear war, I might need this, so it's going to put it in your belly.
That's actually fats. Fats where to store it. You're right. Wheat's even worse than weight, okay? Wheat is, in many cases, what, taking the wheat out of my, and they'll see it in the book, the Health Realized book, when they pick up on your offer here, Lisa. I mean, it's not just videos. It's videos, it's manuals, it's access to us, it's webinars, all these things that you're offering people because we're here to support them. I, for my own sake, I cut out wheat when I was a kid. I'm still gluten intolerant. If somebody slipped some gluten, they wanted me to try a food they wanted me to put in one of our restaurants, right? So I tried it. Is there any gluten? No, there's no gluten. Is there any gluten? No, there's no gluten. Well, it turned out it had some gluten in it. My ankle swelled up. My wife asked me, what did I eat? And I said, oh, my God, I think it had something that had gluten in it. So I believe it was one of the things that helped me. I had severe asthma and allergies, and in 2 weeks, I reversed all symptoms by taking out wheat, dairy, eggs, and meat out of my body. I would say in that order, just bring in more side dishes, bring in more vegetables, bring in more, you know, have a little corn on the cob instead of a slice of bread or something. You're right.
Well, there's
people
also,
will see a difference.
Sweet potatoes are wonderful, too.
There you go.
Those are great complex carbs. They're extremely filling. There's a whole, you have a sweet potato gratin in your, in the book here that's just peeled sweet potatoes, coconut milk, and, like onions and so forth. You can put all that into a baking dish, throw it in the oven. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be raw. Also, he recommends all these great, like curry powder you can put in there, dried thyme, nutmeg, minced garlic, however you want it, how creative you want to get with all this. You could just put the sweet potatoes in there if you want, but and the coconut milk, that would be wonderful as well with a little salt.
We do yam fries, which are home-baked fries, right? So just trim them up, trim up the yam into, you know, fry strips, or just bake it off, right? It doesn't even have to be braised or anything. You put it in the oven for 15 or 20 minutes, and you have yam fries, and talk about kid food. They go crazy, and talk about carotenoids and phyto-accessible,
right,
you know, phenols, these plant phytol.
How do you get those things crispy, though? Because mine always wind up mushy.
You know, sometimes they're mushy, sometimes they're not. It kind of depends on your oven. I do it at about 400 degrees, so it's hotter than most people's ovens, and that'll get them crispy on the outside.
Okay.
So it just depends. And are you marinating yours?
No.
Yeah, so you don't really want to marinate them.
No.
So I don't really know. I just think that they can be a little bit mushy right at first, but we flash them like about 400 degrees at 8 minutes.
Oh, okay. So, and then sometimes I notice if you turn off the oven, you leave them in there, they'll
mush.
Yeah, that's kind of what happens.
One of the great, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What you're going
to
say.
One of the great combinations are you seem to know your food a lot. I remember from talking with you, you really like simple plant-based foods. And again, it's not a religion, and no one's foisting anything on anybody. And any time I've been on your show, it's like old friends come out of the woodwork. A lot of old-timers come out of the woodwork that we're now known as the boomer generation, right? All kinds of health seekers, people that love you. But mainly what I don't think your listeners know is you are not only very, very healthy and love to cook with your kids, you're kind of, like you said, you have ADD, and so like four or five ingredients. So the ingredients would be, in this case, to make a really good dish would be yams, you've done this, and kale, you know, maybe some steamed kale with your yams, maybe a little bit of quinoa if you're not doing grain today or tofu today. You could also do like a little romaine salad with that, and you just top things off with a little bit of maybe a pine nut cheese, which you show people how to make very, very easily, or, of course, you know, we like to do our soups, our onion soups. And
wait, where do you put that, on the stovetop or in an oven?
Well, you would put it on a stovetop, I think.
So
typically, you know, you could just steam it together. We used to have a restaurant in Hollywood, boy, it goes back in the day, called Help Restaurant, and we had a thing called the Sunday. And literally, we would stack yams on the bottom, okay, of the steamer, right, the old-school steamer. We put kale in the middle, and then on top we would put, like, some mushrooms, onions, maybe a little bit of tofu, and we'd serve it out to the people as a sundae. So we'd top it with, like, a tahini sauce or something.
Oh, wait, so yams on the bottom.
Yeah, because they're going to steam first, right? And then kale, because it can just take it forever, right? Kale's a pretty tough green, and we want to eat a lot of kale. It's going to maintain a lot of its chlorophyll, even if it's steamed.
Okay.
And then, of course, you do maybe a couple of mushrooms, whatever mushrooms you like. We happen to like the shiitakes and the maitake mushrooms. We like mushrooms.
Yeah.
And then, of course, maybe some onions and sometimes a little slab of tofu right on top. Not marinated, nothing fancy. Just steam it 15, 20 minutes, pull it right out of the steamer and serve it. We used to call that a Sunday dripple.
Oh, my gosh. That's
you know, it's kind of like the way we live. I don't know why people don't quite get it and why not 100% of the people are not doing this. You can reverse health care. You can reverse disease. You can reverse the issues of economy. You can reverse anything in terms of, like, your own happiness factor. I mean, it's just a fact. People used to come into our restaurants because the waitresses and waiters look so good.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, that's exactly. I'm going back to why I wanted you to be on. It's because those are just the side effects, is the reversing disease. What makes it, and then you make it so simple and fun. I mean, I know in my refrigerator right now, I got a tub of spinach that I keep overlooking, and it's starting to kind of get on the bottom. It's starting to get brown. I'm like, I got to make the spinach and the mushrooms. I got to do something with those today. If I could just run out and get some yams, that would be beautiful. God, that sounds so good. So we
teach people how to do one pot casseroles, which are really fun. You could top off your casserole with your spinach, you know, right now, so you don't have to really worry about it. One pot casseroles are fun.
What is that? Give me an idea of one pot casserole.
Yeah, I'll give you more. And also bowls, I think, are important. You know, just a concept before I get into some more recipes. The bowl is an ancient way of eating. We used to sometimes hold our food in our hand, right? And so the bowl represents the holding of the food in that way. And if you are going through any health challenges, money challenges, emotional challenges, fear of future, whatever, learn how to make yourself a good bowl. Pick your greens, pick your grains, pick your proteins. The green goes on the bottom. Could just be some steamed kale or some sliced up romaine, diced up romaine, chopped up spinach or steamed spinach like what you have in your refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
Pick a grain like the four grains that – there's only four grains I really endorse, and that would be in this order probably quinoa, brown rice, buckwheat, or millet. And millet is kind of little known in this society because we don't really have food-grade millet here. The USDA does not let the really sweet, cool millet come into the world. So millet's kind of losing popularity. Millet's the ancient food of the Egyptians and should really be looked at more to be brought in here. The corn lobby does not allow millet.
I want to talk to you about the corn lobby in a minute. Okay.
Right, exactly. So basically these bowls are also similar to like these one-pot stews, right, but they're even easier. And then just top it with a little bit of protein, a little diced in tempeh, diced in tofu, or if you want some red beans or black beans, or just top it with some hemp seeds. Find the dressings that you like. We feature a lot of dressings in our work, in our chefing classes, and obviously in your offer here. I don't even know how many dressings. We give them our pine nut, you know, ranch dressing, and there's just so many dressings.
Wow, yeah.
And it's off the chain when you do it. And so if you did a crock pot or a one-pot stew, or just learn how to do a casserole in a frying pan, if you did it with your kids where you're not using any oils, you know, cooked oils or whatever, and just really starting, what you would do is you'd have the grain on the bottom. So let's say we're doing quinoa. Quinoa is going to cook really quickly, right? So you just take your quinoa and you just start to cook it. Usually it's 1.5 to 1, so 1 cup of quinoa to 1.5 parts water. You could add a little bit more if you like. Quinoa is not fussy, right? It's easy to make.
Okay.
You then in the middle, you put the greens here. So your chopped up kale or collards or chard we like a lot, or your spinach. And then on top, maybe you put a little bit of your tofu or your tempeh. You cook that down for 15, 20 minutes, which is all it will take. You have that one-pot stew. You can
that
put
is
in
a
vegetables.
Complete food right there. It's
completely. You'll sustain yourself, yeah.
Yeah, that's a complete food. You've got your protein. You've got your green leafy vegetables. You've got your grains. You've got everything that you need in that one spot. And you can eat that again the next day for lunch. You can eat it for breakfast. But I mean, you can make that go such a long way with that one one meal right there. Now, corn. What's the deal about corn? Because it is in everything. I mean, corn is in so many things, and of course there's.
Oh boy! So kind of, you know, on our website. And people get in here, I have something from Dr. David Kessler, who was 2 times ahead of the FDA, and he had to give an interview with the BBC for what he was going to say, and he said it was high fructose corn syrup and the addiction to sugar that is causing the downfall of Western civilization, bringing on the downfall of human civilization. All diseases caused by this high fructose corn syrup. Pythagoras, swing to the left is equal to the swing to the right. The Hopis, the Navajo, the Incans, where corn originated, right?
Right.
Up in the Andes. Corn is the ancient mother. Corn is the ancient grain. It's the mother grain. If you've ever had like a really beautiful sweet corn grown naturally, you could eat through the cob. I mean, it's just so delicious. I was one time in one place where after the rain, severe storms actually, I could hear the corn in the Andes, right, growing out of the ground, okay?
Wow.
Creaking out of the ground. Huh. It's a full plant-based form of regenerative sustenance that got co-opted and grown in these mass agribiz units of millions of acres. And when you take a look at the sweetness factors of what you can do with corn, all the byproducts you can use corn for, which is not efficient for the land and is raping the land, actually, the number one killer of our kids, of the kids in school, the kids at home. Everywhere is this high fructose corn syrup.
And they're renaming it something now, right?
It has many, many names as different types of sweeteners. And basically, if you ask kids, like, where potato chips come from, 70% of them would just say, you know, the grocery store, right? They wouldn't say potatoes. And so the difference between eating something from a grocery store and eating something from the ground is sustaining ourselves as a humanity or killing ourselves as a humanity. It's that profound.
Amazing. And those are the most genetically modified crops are corn, wheat, and soy, right?
You got it.
So someone here on the questions asks, should we really eat only organic?
That's another great question. I believe to only eat organic, whether or not it's going to make you healthier or not, it kind of stands to reason. You certainly, maybe the top 10 foods that have pesticides on them, like, you know, strawberries or, you know, your lettuces, this type of thing, you have to avoid those. I only eat organic. Our restaurant, Blossoming Lotus, in Portland, Oregon here, only serves organic. I believe in the organic lifestyle as being the only lifestyle that's going to sustain our planet long term. But I'm not going to should on anybody, you know. I think what we should do is what we feel is right. I just think if you have pesticides that are killing plants and you take this into your body, talk about neurodisruptors, it's not going to help your body. But overall, you have to avoid these heavy toxic crops. I think you have to avoid GMO crops. I think you have to support organic farmers, you know, over the long term. And as one of the founders and actually one of the part and parcel helpers, I guess, or initiators of the organic food movement in the Southern California 60s, we thought we would all be eating organic, all living on a plant-based lifestyle because it was just obvious. You felt better, you looked better, and you lived better.
Interesting. So now the, you know, bottom line was what you were saying is that the things that have a thicker skin are a little safer, but mostly anything that has direct contact with the earth, the skin, like the lettuces and grapes, blueberries, strawberries, all the berries and so forth, those things where the skin is in direct contact.
You have to avoid them pretty much, especially for your kids.
They must be organic. They must be.
I think, you know, again, I'm not going to,
Because they're just sponges for the pesticides.
That's what you have to use your common sense, you know. If it's a difference between, I was in a place recently where they didn't have any organic vegetables or fruits, and all I really ate was coconuts and papayas.
The heck were you?
It was just great. You know, avocados, I was doing just fine. But I test my food. I know all about how to test myself for my food.
Yeah.
I use pendulums. I use applied kinesiology, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I use my own intuition. I implore people to understand that the man-to-plant connection is the only way, in my humble opinion, and why I put all of my energy and resources into this, that can help us as a society to free ourselves of what I think is a pretty heavy downward spiral. And I think things like pesticides, even down to inorganic fertilizers, all the way to, you know, the processing of food. Even sometimes if it's hard shelled, like even bananas are fumigated certain ways, you know, for tarantulas or spiders. These things just are not good for our bodies.
Sister-in-law, her kids did a science experiment at the school, and they took a sweet potato that was genetically modified and, you know, conventional, and then they did a sweet potato that was organic, and they put it, both of them, in bowls of water, and the one that was organic sprouted, and the one that was non-organic didn't. And it was just a great, and they got, you know, that was their science experiment. That was it.
I would like people to keep doing this. The Secret Life of Plants, where we talked about plant communication, has gone so far that I saw a lady that won a science fair in the UK who actually was able to communicate with plants such that she could have the plants play music.
What?
And talk to us.
Oh, my God.
Communicate with plants. And she was so sensitive that she knew how to get her plants to respond to her, and then she trained them to play music. She hooked up these little electrodes to a synthesizer, and she was communicating with plants. So, plants are regenerative. They're alive.
Uh-huh.
They are an extension of, I mean, obviously, they're medicines. They're hallucinogens. They're here for food, fuel, and fiber, and shelter. And more than anything, we are on this kind of green planet with a lot of nice water, and it's just a matter of fact, Lisa.
Okay, so now here's the deal. If you guys go to that website, which I mentioned to you, there's a free gift there for you, which is an excerpt from the Cooking Healthy Lessons. So if you go to theawareshow.com/Rinaldi, R-I-N-A-L-D-I, you will find that free thank you gift. You have to press on the special offer button, and then you scroll to the bottom of that page. Now, through that wonderful page, you will find all of the membership that we talked about, to the membership site, the Cooking Healthy membership site, which gives you all of the videos and the webinars and all the things that you can learn to start off on how to make your life not only plant-based diet, but also learn about all of the industry behind it and so forth. And so it gives you a ton of how-to. And then the ebook Bo has put this together exclusively for the Aware Show audience, and you have no idea the beauty of this. It doesn't exist anywhere else. It's only for you. So in listening to these shows, I've always said this about the teleseminars here, just by being a part of this community, you guys are in the know. You have not only heard a lot of great content on these shows, because that's one of my goals, is to give you as much take-home, take-away information as you can, but because if we have wonderful relationships with people like Bo, the deals that are on this whole series are amazing, but Bo took it to a totally another level, and he put it exclusive. That means it doesn't exist anywhere else. It was only created for you guys. So this is, and thank you so much. This is a way to say thank you for being a part of this show, I mean the whole series and everything, to the listeners, is to get these great exclusive, I mean, this is amazing. So it's all, first half of the book is all stories on how people have balanced hormones, how they have disappeared irritable bowel syndrome, how they have cured cancer, real life stories on reversing cancer, of course, beautiful skin and things like that, but there's about children and how a mother healed a child, and diabetes and from the brink of death, and all these great, great, true life stories.
Give me a chill when you talk about it, Lisa. I really like the way you're saying
they're
it.
They're beautiful.
It's actually true. I feel like we've had the honor to help thousands of people. So these are true life stories.
Yeah, true. And then 30 pounds in 2 months of loss. And then the second half of the book is all of the recipes that, I mean, I've read a few of them that I've got the polenta pancakes out, because that's what I'm going to be making tonight. But I think I'm actually going to do the yams and the kale and the mushrooms, do that one too. But
wait, pancakes, pecan, polenta pancakes for dinner tonight?
I'm thinking.
I'd like to be your kid, I'm telling
you. Oh, man, this does sound good. There's mushroom leek and tofu risotto. There's grilled polenta cakes, which I could do with a coconut lime sauce. Uh-huh. But these are easy. I mean, Bo put these together because I get distracted so fast in the kitchen that these are very simple, 4 or 5 ingredients, 15 minutes, easy stuff, and a lot of salads, a lot of great stuff on here. So that is on that special offer for you. And then he totally threw it all out the window and made it 90% off, which couldn't have been any better to get this in the hands of lots and lots of people. So if you have no clue how to even start to approach your health, this is an incredible way to start, and I ask that Bo make this really easy for people. Even if you hate vegetables, this is your start. Here's your way to make vegetables really good, maybe because your mom shoved them down your throat when you were young and you didn't like the way that they tasted. Look, you can decorate a green bean like nobody's business. and that's what's so cool, because of your years and years and years of knowledge on how to do this, and then you get excited and you get to start to make portobello mushroom tacos, and you can do all that stuff when you get fancy. But for the most part, you can make it super simple whole foods. I've been gluten-free for, I don't know, 4 years maybe, and I went through the whole, like, first of all, I couldn't believe I couldn't eat it anymore, and I went through that whole deprivation thing, and then I realized, all right, well, let's try to add the foods in that they say are gluten-free, but they have 75 other ingredients, so it didn't help my stomach at all because it didn't recognize anything. So that, and then I just went to, all right, just anything that's from the earth makes sense. My body recognizes it. Done. So then I kind of just kept on.
So you sound really clear and healthy to me. So did you experience better health from your changes?
Yeah, I definitely have. I mean, I do so many things too. I do everything from brain entrainment. Bo, I'm crazy, but I do
a lot of brain entrainment. One of our next products is going to be called the Alpha Mind System, and I, because I'm concerned about our humanity, the coaching that I do, I have a website, you know my name, right, BoRinaldi.com, for the lands that we have in Ecuador where we teach people about how to do Vision Quest, to the brainwave entrainment that we do with food that we do and the outreach that we do for people. I'm concerned about kind of my brothers and sisters on this planet, whatever nationality or credo that they follow. So things like brainwave entrainment is to me, it's not crazy. It's mandatory. Our brains need to be able to calm down here, Lisa.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And there's so much more that can be accessed from the different states. I mean, I love the human brain. I think it's fascinating. And all the different levels, I've always, that's one of my favorite topics. But I just think that it's a whole body system. I mean, you have to do the mind, you have to do the body, you have to do the spirit, and you don't have to do anything. But this is what floats my boat.
I don't even think it's separate. I think the separate's Pythagoras, okay? He thought that whatever, the real secret came from Pythagoras. We almost have it reversed. We say, like, put out there what we want, you know, so it comes back to you. It's not exactly how it is. The first, we'll just call it edict, okay, of Pythagoras, whatever we put our energy into is what comes to life. That energy is our consciousness. Whatever you put into consciousness comes to life. So in modern-day quantum physics, or to a semanticist, a chair exists because we have this great consensus thinking that's gone down, you know, like 500-600 years. That's a chair, right? So that's in the thought form that materializes in the physical universe. To Pythagoras, you could put out total health by putting out total health. You can have total health by projecting that aura, that energy, that intensity. And that's what you need to do with brainwave entrainment, this coherency of alpha wave states, alpha brainwave states.
Mm-hmm.
That will create that for people. Stray alpha, you got the monkey mind, you got, you know, consciousness jumping around everywhere. Coherent alpha, you're a monk, you know, you're like dialed in.
It's an interesting concept. All right, so do you mind if I open up the lines for callers? Because there's a bunch of people who have raised their hand to talk to you.
I'd love it.
If you don't mind talking to some.
I'll talk to anybody.
Live folks. So if you press *2 to raise your hand, I will call on you by the city and state that your phone is registered in. So you press *2 to raise your hand. And our first caller here is from Durango, Colorado. Durango, that's a cool spot, mountain biking capital of the world. Do you have a question for Bo Rinaldi?
Aloha, yes, this is Melanie. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Hi.
Bo, I had a couple of questions. I was wondering if you would elaborate on the oats that are okay for us as opposed to the oats with the gluten in them. But I also wanted to ask, I've been vegetarian by nature, but I was eating too much tofu, it turned out, and so I've tried all these different things, and I keep developing food intolerances over and over and over, and even my massive salad full of everything in the world and nuts and all that good stuff is starting to upset my stomach, and I don't know what's going on.
Well, there's obviously something, hon, and so like aloha to you and so I would say, first of all, just avoid oats, okay? It's a dicey topic. There's something called avenin in oats, okay? And it starts to mimic gluten, even if it's gluten-free.
Wow.
So even if you're buying Bob's Red Mill gluten-free oats,
there
can be avenin, and you can actually have a select-style response. That's a little bit of a – there's no science for this, okay? Your body is your laboratory, and your body's telling you something you're mixing on in it is not working. So I would avoid – I would look – in your case, believe it or not, I'd start to look at your cosmetics, your shampoos, your lip balms.
Really?
I bet you dollars to donuts that you're fully gluten intolerant, and I bet you dollars to donuts that you have wheat germ oil in those products. And that wheat germ oil is filled with the gliadin protein. And if you eliminate those by going to maybe Desert Essence products that are now making gluten-free body washes, shampoos, toothpaste that are gluten-free, you just have to go to the store, get those items, eliminate the makeups that have wheat germ oil. There's soybean oil as a replacement in a lot of these things. You will find, I bet, even within 24 hours, your body will start to breathe a sigh of relief. Something's going on in there.
Interesting.
I don't know what all you're eating. Tofu is not the culprit. It has a phytoestrogenic kind of response in a small amount of people. And if you do like 4 ounces a day or something, it's not going to be a big deal. And it's actually very positive in the body. It's a little bit fattening, and so that's not great, and people love it because it's like you just want to certain people if it's prepared right. But I have to look at if you have nutritional yeast in there. Sometimes people could be intolerant to that when they're, you know, on a vegetarian vegan diet.
Yeah. Let me ask you a quick question. Are you doing combining of fruits in your salads by any chance?
No, not in the one. My favorite salad is it's got, you know, all the different colored peppers, and I throw in avocado and all the different. I like to use a spring type of a mix. I throw in walnuts, sometimes tomatoes, sometimes not, and red onion. I adore red onion. I'm starting to wonder if that may not be the problem, though. Something is causing me to have, like, terrible indigestion for hours after I eat the salad.
If you eliminate it, and Lisa knows all this, eliminate the nightshades like the peppers.
Yeah.
Peppers would just cause indigestion if your body's not functioning right. If you did a salad, I'll give a rainbow salad to your callers, okay, Lisa, that you can send out to these people that are calling in, the rainbow salad that we have. If you just take a look at staying with very simple kinds of greens and then stay with the simple vegetables, the beets, the carrots, the turnips, the chards, these vegetables are non-allergenic, by all organic. You just grate them up, make what's known as a Virtue Benner salad. Virtue Benner, original raw foodist guy. If you just make a salad, it's a grated salad with these greens and these are very soothing to the body. What you're eating with your red onion and your nightshades, the peppers, these are going to be very acid-forming in your body, especially the way it is right now.
Do you know that you're allergic to nightshades? Have you ever been told that?
You know what? I actually, it came up once in a reading, and I was wondering about that. And also
walnut.
That.
Yeah, sorry. Walnuts, in the interest of time, eliminate walnuts. Mm-hmm. Walnuts have to be soaked out to eliminate the tannins. The tannins in the walnuts are also going to disrupt your digestion. So walnuts are not the preferred. Now, a lot of people are allergic to that. Stay away from sesame, walnuts. Even almonds. I would just do cashews, pine nuts, macadamias. These softer nuts typically are non-allergenic, and you'll still get that same kind of fat response you're looking for, you know.
Sesame, walnuts, almonds. I've heard almonds before, too, with thyroid issues. But I got a question about the to Bo, and thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. And keep listening because I'm going to ask some more questions to reply to you. With the nightshades, why are people allergic to them? And I heard something about fungus in them, and these are the peppers, potatoes, eggplant.
There's atropines in them. There's basically functional psychotropics in them, and they just have a delirious effect on your body. Now they've been harmonized out by hybridizing, so they're a little sweeter or not quite as, let's say, acidic or without those belladonna like, you know, nightshade-like plant substances. They are officially, a lot of these plants are cultivated for drug research at this point because they have atropines in them. And so they're basically active. They have active phytochemicals in them.
And that also causes an outgassing effect in the body, which could be the reason for the bloating and the gases. And stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot more. You know, plants are just very, very intricate. The matrix of a plant, the living matrix of what's going on in the plant, when we start to take a look at the nutritional aspects and what's going on in our body and all these other things, if we just kind of keep it simple, like find the top 10 ingredients that you like, the kale, the quinoa, the beets, the carrots, the apples, the cashews, maybe some cauliflower, broccoli, of course, some chards, pine nuts, hemp seeds. Stay with those
wow.
ingredients.
You just mentioned
nobody's
going to
hurt. That's how you eat, Lisa. That's why you have so much energy. I know this, people.
I love those foods right there. You just named my top 10. If you were a psychic, you would just name them right off for me.
That's what we're not healers, right? So the disclaimer is we don't know what we're talking about when it comes to healing. We just know what we're talking about when it comes to self-healing.
Well, I love that you speak in concepts, too, because it helps us remember things more, like the bowl concept and the casserole and why those are easy. And it's good. I mean, the recipes you guys can get for days on that special offer, which is amazing. But I like that you take concepts to the market, which is great. I mean, when you shop. Okay, couple of other questions. Wheatgrass. That doesn't have wheat in it, right? I mean, help me out on that.
Well, wheatgrass comes from wheat kernels, but unless it has the second node in it, and there's always going to be somebody that'll say I could be wrong, but I'm actually not wrong. Wheatgrass and wheatgrass juice, as long as it doesn't go to that second node where it starts to germinate a little bit further. If it's just the grass, you juice that up. There's no gluten in wheatgrass. So, yes, there's wheat in wheatgrass, but it's a sprouted wheat germination. And in that germination, as it goes to chlorophyll, where it has all of this fantastic chlorophyll and bioavailable protein, if you open up a wheatgrass stand, wherever you are, I don't care if you're in Detroit or whatever, people will come out of the woodwork because it builds up your red blood cells. It builds up your muscles. It makes you feel like a god or a goddess, literally, and there's no gluten in it.
Okay, so that's it's just when you want to cut off the tops and juice that rather than getting to the root.
You just don't want to grow it out too fast, and it's just tricky. Just go someplace that has good wheatgrass juice. It's a lot easier.
All right, good.
That one I don't like to make at home unless you really know what you're doing, frankly.
Okay, good to know. And then food combining. Is it okay to combine the fruits and the vegetables? I've heard.
You know, I think it is. Now, I was raised by a hygienist. My mother turned into be like a hygienist. I like to tell my mother's story.
Oh,
we're going to
yeah.
go for, what, 10 more minutes or so?
Yeah. Tell your mom's story.
Okay, so I want to tell that in a second. So we studied the life of Herbert Shelton, who was, basically the inspiration for Harvey and Marilyn Diamond for Fit for Life.
Oh.
And that was all about food combinations. I think cutting the acid out in your body, in your diet for your body is fine. I think having good food combinations is also fine. We're the early kind of adopters of the health food movement, so we didn't even believe in drinking water, okay? All the water had to come from, the foods, the fruits and vegetables, right? Remember when you weren't supposed to drink water would dilute your digestive enzymes?
That doesn't happen? That's not true anymore?
Well, I think it's true. I'm still the same way. People ask me, why don't you drink water? I say, well, I'm from the friggin' 60s, right? So I've been doing this for 50 years. And, we didn't. And luckily, I didn't catch the bottled water boom, but I really do like a nice, fresh water. I saw black water the other day. Somebody showed me a native water that comes out black. It was absolutely delicious.
Ew. Oh,
it was good, Lisa. It was really like that. It was like, come on, glacial water. All these waters, right?
Okay.
But we believe in the living waters. The reason we have lands in Ecuador and Honduras and Uruguay, and I live in Portland, we like water from the sky. We like pure water that comes from springs and wells. And we like water, but when it comes to food combining, it's the jury's out. There's not like a lot of evidence-based medicine. People have to do this on their own. I still do not combine to this day fruits with anything else. I was taught, some of my early work was with a very famous fruitarian, okay, Johnny Love Wisdom in Ecuador. And
wow.
So he said first eat fruit because it would go through your body the fastest. It's solar. It's already pre-digested. The food's going to digest in 20 minutes. Harvey Diamond adopted that. Herbert Shelton adopted that.
Oh.
Then the next food you're going to eat are your vegetables, so you have your salads all together. But I swear, if you top your salads with cranberries or blueberries, I'm not noticing a lot of difference, frankly, in my body. My body seems to rejoice in it. But they said that it's the lowest common denominator. So if the vegetables take, let's say, 1 to 2 hours to digest, then by nature, by definition, those raisins and cranberries will take that long to digest. But still, that's not a long time. It's the proteins that get a little tricky. Okay,
so
proteins take the longest to digest.
So though the fruits, if you eat them afterwards, could ferment in the body and that's
precisely. Yeah, you do your
Got
fruits
it.
First. Definitely.
Got it. And
yeah.
then the proteins, I mean, I've heard animal protein takes 2 to 3 days to digest.
I don't think you'd ever digest if you're John Wayne. You die with 75 excess pounds.
You're the wrong person to ask. Okay.
Yeah.
And then.
No, I'm the right person to ask. I just want to give you an axiom that we learned in the old days that I still think is good in today's days, as we try to engineer a new society or kind of social entrepreneurs that we are, try to understand this. If we want to be high-performance people, the more energy you put into digestion, the more hours you need to sleep. So, Lisa, I can already tell you don't need like a lot of sleep.
I get 6 hours.
Yeah, because your body's spending, if you're spending 4 or 5 hours total in digestion, you add maybe an hour or two for sleep or going down and waking up, that's pretty much the way it works, people. So people that are pretty heavy carnivores, and this is not a truism or an axiom, it's just an observation. Again, it was kind of made by Pythagoras. The more hours that it takes to digest food, the more recuperative energy your body needs in the form of sleep. And frankly, nobody really knows how digestion works, and definitely nobody knows how sleep works. Talk about brainwave entrainment, right? You sleep. You can go into sleep states. So the idea is to use intuition, eat low down the fruit chain, and try to stay mono almost. So if you're just doing cherries, just do a bowl of cherries. Then go into your salads and that kind of thing. That's the natural way to eat.
It's simple. Yeah, it is definitely simple. And, I mean, I have interviewed so many different people And you'd have to be in a closet and live in a closet to not know about the benefits of green foods. They tell you to eat your green leafy vegetables. If you've ever been to any, even doctor will tell you that. Back to diet. It's back to diet, back to diet. And
but they don't know what to do. And we try to make it easy for them to show them what to do because I've been doing it for 51 years. My head chef, executive chef, Mark Reinfeld, Wes Hanna, head chef of Blossom & Lotus here in Portland, Oregon, the thousands of people that we work with, we write books, we have writers, we research this out, we deal with, I think, millions of people now, pretty much. We have to make this accessible. You can't be a weekend warrior doing it, but you can start with side dishes. But the more we do it, the more we grow our way out of this and basically heal ourselves as a humanity.
Wonderful. Now I want to hear your mama's story.
Okay, so she's 84 years old. In January, she heard that she had cancer, bladder cancer. Bladder cancer is a very invasive cancer. She lives in Medford, Oregon. They have, like, I think, four health plans. So when they see them come in, they just, everybody lights up, like, which health plan should we use today, right? Mm. And so they wanted her to go on chemo and, of course, radiation. I said, Mom, let me put you on a plant-based diet, eliminate all sugars because cancer feeds on sugar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a nutraceutical, a plant-based medicine, essentially, that's legal and effective. That's a mushroom called AHCC. She went on the plant-based diet the way that I am talking about it here, scratch-based cooking, following concepts that we have in our books and the online cooking classes that we're offering here. She went on that. She eliminated all sugar. Matter of fact, the only thing I allowed her to have for sweets was watermelon because cancer loves sugar, right?
Yeah.
And so we went into this mushroom extract called AHCC and put her on a mega dose, 3 grams a day, AHCC. We then, after 3 months, the cancer did not spread. Bladder cancer typically will invade the muscles and invade the body, and it will spread. The person can die in 6 months to 5 years. So they do it. They do like a big ration of chemo. She didn't take any medicines, but she said, "Bo, I got to do something. Let me just do like a little bit of radiation so I know I'm doing something else good for myself, but I'll stay on the program." Still stayed plant-based, still stayed with the HCC, still had no sugar, coffees or anything, alcohols, right? Nothing like that. And so essentially, what happened was after 6 months, they were checking her out for her chemo protocol. This was last week, so if they could put her on the chemo, and the doctor called for another study because he couldn't find any cancer in her body. So they go back down in there because there was no determinant of cancer. They go back down in there. They tried to do a biopsy to look for the cancer. She eradicated her cancer.
Oh, my gosh. And this for just real. Happened?
It just happened last week, yeah. It went from, it was like a 7 week, 7 month deal that we were on, 6 months where she followed what I was doing. We cut out all these different things that I know will feed it. Interesting story with sugar. Cancer likes all forms of sugar, okay, even fruits. And when you have a cancer, which is living in our body, it expresses itself typically when there's an abundance of proteins in your body. Theoretically, okay, I don't want to touch the Cancer Society or have anybody down on me, but theoretically proteins, especially casein protein as proven by Dr. Campbell, meat proteins or carcinogens, other types of proteins, your body is going to react and it's going to have an epigenetic expression of these cells known as cancer, and these cancers love sugars, so what happens is they get expressed and then they feed on sugars. And so the way that they test if your body has cancer is they eradicate some sugar, like a sugar cube, and they put it down into your body so they can track it. And literally the cancer and the sugar like suck each other right up, just like that. The sugar goes right to the cancer. It's such a hand-to-glove thing that they don't even know if the sugar's attracting the cancer, if the cancer's attracting the sugar.
Wow.
They just kind of feed on each other, and they didn't see that happen in her body, so they went and did a biopsy. They studied everything, and my mother's free. You don't need any chemo? She goes, really? No chemo? So we're having, like, constant celebration here.
Oh,
we've seen this happen over and over with people. When it's in your mother with her life, you know, her body at 84 years old, it's pretty much, there's a lot of prayer involved. And what's a placebo effect? Well, I don't really care. She prays a lot. She's got a special connection with her God, you know.
Wow, that's beautiful. And that just happened. I'm so glad you saved that story to the last because it really hit home. Thank you so much. And, you know, I don't think that there is a stone we haven't unturned here. I think people understand that it is the way to live. It is the way to reverse illness. It is a way to clearer thinking, happier relationships and so forth. Just to take care of your body and the way that you, and by all means to have awareness about it. It's the first step to any solution is awareness. So be conscious of the food and the hand to mouth, and recognize what you're putting in your body. And you know, still eat your donuts or whatever you want, but recognize it, recognize how you feel, and then recognize how you feel after you eat something like a green leafy vegetable or a salad or something like that gives you a little bit more life force. And do your own type of experimentation here. And then as you start to feel better, then you're zillion recipes on this special offer that Bo put together exclusively for you on the Aware Show community, and it doesn't exist anywhere else, and then it goes away in a couple of days. So that's the bottom line, is that everything got drastically reduced, got put together for you guys, but in order for it to be fair in the marketplace, it goes away in a couple of days. So jump on this. It's the website to go to is theawareshow.com/Rinaldi, R-I-N-A-L-D-I. And the special offer is just beautiful there. And Bo put a lot of care and love into putting this together for this community specifically. And it's all about you guys. So that's the bottom line. And thank you so much, Bo. You are awesome. I love talking to you. You have so much
information. I love talking to you, too. It's like nutrition for my soul, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we have a lot of desserts in there, too. We have, like, key lime mousses and all kinds of chocolate truffles, and no one's going to feel deprived. We're not just going to – we're going to give them the fattest life they can imagine. But if your people are not smiling like we're all smiling, then we're not doing our job. So we always hold webinars, learn from everybody. And I'll tell you something. It's a full-time job to think about how we can grow our way out of this, help our local economies, help ourselves, help our kids. So I say, get in the kitchen. Maybe have a glass of wine if you like. Vegans, you know, we like a good glass of wine.
Yeah.
And learn basically the concepts at whatever level, you know, the alchemy of this transformation that Lisa's offering. And just enjoy yourself. It is much easier than we make it to have a fantastic life.
It is much easier. It's all about convenience. So this is easy and it's fun. So we're all about easy and fun. All right, Bo. I don't want to hang up, but we probably should get going. So thanks for hanging on.
We'll do it again sometime. Love you guys. Love you all. Love you, Lisa, very much. Thanks to you and all your people for having us together with you once again.
Absolutely. It's been a total joy, my soulmate over there. And I'll talk to you again later, okay?
Absolutely, Lisa. We love you guys.
I love you, too. All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Cool people. Bo is cool people. And so is his whole team. Good people. All right, so give yourself a gift. Go to that. Get it for someone else. Put it in your. And it's, by the way, a lot of it's downloadable, so you don't have to wait for stuff to show up in the mail. It's right there for you. So, and then the website is accessible for you, so that you get to get those tutorials. I set up my laptop in the kitchen. Now, I am not a cook. I'm actually a horrible cook. So that's one of the reasons I wanted Bo to put this together. So And he's such a trusted source. You can tell by his amazing amount of knowledge that the recipes that are in here have been well thought out and are complete and fulfilling and satisfying and everything. So, okay, I don't know many other recipe books like this. So you'd have to search far ends of the earth to find something like this. Honestly, I have been searching. So this is an incredible offer. And just thank you guys so much. I'm so glad that you are on the call. Remember, if you go to theawareshow.com/Rinaldi, click on the special offer there, scroll to the down through that wonderful offer, and there's a special thank you gift for all of you who stayed on this call for an hour and a half. There's literally hundreds and hundreds of you left on the line, so I appreciate this. I know that you got a huge benefit out of it, and continue to grow and feed your body great foods and stay in love and laughter and light. And until next time, I invite you to stay aware.